Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Your eyes have it. And you have Dr. Robert Abel Jr., the Wizard of Eyes.
Everyone is concerned about Alzheimer's disease and memory loss. Well, our next guest is a wonderful man who is a brain imaging physician who has had dual fellowships in body and neurodegenerative disorder imaging. And he's going to tell us a little bit about how do you detect the earliest or the latest findings in various neurodegenerative diseases. Dr. Phil Chow is back with us after a previous outstanding performance to talk about the quality of 3T imaging and what it can do. Phil, thanks for being with us again. And can you just sort of introduce us again to what 3T imaging is compared to the usual MRIs of the brain?
Sure. I'd like to make the comparison that a 3T MRI is like an HDTV versus a regular old television set, which most of us don't have anymore. But the strangest thing is that, unfortunately, as doctors, we're stuck with our old MR imaging equipment. So most doctors have a 1.5 Tesla MRI system, and very few doctors are fortunate enough to have a 3 Tesla or high-definition MRI system, basically. So I've been very lucky to have had 3T MRI for about 10 years, and so I have a lot of experience in interpreting 3T MRI and also how it helps us over 1.5 Tesla MRIs to basically see imaging changes that we can see in patients with Alzheimer's. The interesting thing is that these patients with Alzheimer's basically just show focal atrophy in the hippocampus region of the brain. That's where memories are associated. And so special high-resolution testing of the hippocampus actually has been possible for the last 10 years using 3T MRI, and we can actually see changes in the hippocampus which show us that the patient is unfortunately starting to have signs that are consistent with early Alzheimer's disease. And so if you have any history of Alzheimer's disease in your family, a patient should probably get something called a quantitative MRI study, which is usually done at many university hospitals, and sometimes you can find a free sort of an imaging trial where they're actually following patients with Alzheimer's, so you don't even have to pay for these tests, but make sure you ask for quantitative 3T MRI to look at the hippocampus. So that's one of the big things that we can do to actually see Alzheimer's disease as it progresses. The other way we actually can see Alzheimer's disease is a different way that we discovered about 15 years ago, and it's called proton spectroscopy. And this actually lets us take a biopsy, a chemical biopsy of the brain, all done electronically. So the patient is, no one's harmed. It just makes a funny noise, actually kind of a pulsing noise. And it takes about 5 minutes. And in 5 minutes, we can actually tell if you might have possible early Alzheimer's disease. So these are the two ways that are easy to do. And at 3 Tesla, the pictures are just clearer, sharper, better, and also faster. So sometimes you have a patient, especially an Alzheimer's patient or a confused patient, if you can speed the imaging up, you're more likely to get a study that's readable than if you have a slower, older machine. So that's pretty much my 2 cents about what the easy difference between 1.5 Tesla and 3 Tesla is. It's just basically sharper pictures, sort of like HGTV.
You know what it brings to mind is this, is that listeners might be scared. Oh, my God, look what I got. I have a shrinking brain. I have a hippocampus thing. I have a proton spectroscopic analysis that's abnormal. And what it really means is we now have a benchmark that actually we can compare therapies and preventive techniques to see if we can actually stop this in disease. Don't you think?
That's absolutely true. And actually, some of these tests are actually used with new medications. They have new drugs, and they actually have a viral phage treatment for Alzheimer's that's being developed in Israel. I just read about that last week. So it's important to have imaging tests that actually let us follow the treatment of Alzheimer's. Right now, I don't think that anyone would say we can treat Alzheimer's, but there are some very promising drug and virus techniques that may actually give us some treatments in the future. And, of course, there's also studies that say that if you take vitamin E and exercise your brain every day with puzzles, that actually delays the onset of Alzheimer's for a few years. So these are all things that we can follow with our proton spectroscopy. Again, non-invasively, doesn't hurt you anyway, and also with the quantitative imaging of your hippocampus.
Well, I'm going to bring up on my segment called Ask the Wizard today about exercise and how it actually expands the brain and reduces cognitive decline in a 10-year study. But you're right on. Well, you know, with MS, obviously imaging has been vital to MS because there are some management regimes. What do you see in MS?
Well, that's a very interesting question, because before we had 3T and 7T, we actually didn't realize that MS is related to subtle deposits of iron in your brain. But it turns out that with these more powerful MRI scanners, we can see those very subtle micro hemorrhages in your brain, or micro deposits of iron inside your brain, and perhaps venous congestion related to the MS plaque. So when we see that in relation to a plaque, it's pathognomonic of MS. Once we see that, we cannot see these iron deposits at 1.5T. It's simply impossible. We haven't been able to detect them until we had 3T and 7T scanners. So that's one thing that we can see. We also see many more plaques. I think I mentioned on the previous study, you generally see 50% more plaques at 3T than you do at 1.5T. And people say, well, we see plaques at 1.5T, but isn't that enough? And the answer is, you need to see as many of the plaques as you possibly can, obviously, and then those plaques might explain why your disease has progressed. So if you're missing 30% of the lesions, that's generally, you know, you're working with one hand tied behind your back.
And, for instance, you might miss that there's eye findings because you missed the plaques in the appropriate location.
Correct.
Well, moving to Parkinson's. Do you have anything that you would call pathognomonic for Parkinson's disease that you see?
There is, actually. At 3T, there's a special sign that's in the brainstem called the swallowtail sign. And it's the appearance of one of the nuclei that are affected by Parkinson's disease. If you have the swallowtail sign, then you definitely have Parkinson's disease. So it's a finding that's only been known for about 2 years. You can look that up on a Google search. Just look up swallowtail sign, Parkinson's disease, and it'll show you that the sign looks like a swallow's tail in your brain. So that's why it's called that. We're not supposed to name things after objects and food and whatnot, but it happens anyway.
Well, you look at the history of Chinese martial arts. Every posture is named after an animal.
That's right. There are many of them are named after birds, actually. So.
Excellent. So Alzheimer's, I have understood, and correct me if I'm wrong, has risen to become the fourth leading cause of death in the United States.
Well, I'm not sure that the Alzheimer's itself is causing your death. That's the issue, because I think what it is, it's become very, very prevalent because, unfortunately, as we get older, the incidence of Alzheimer's goes up. So the prevalence of Alzheimer's is estimated to be as much as 50% in patients over 85. So as our population is aging, that's why we see much more Alzheimer's. It may not be the Alzheimer's that's actually killing us, but we definitely see an increased spike in the amount of Alzheimer's as we get older. And basically, you know, all of us baby boomers, we have to be concerned because, unfortunately, Alzheimer's actually doesn't only strike people who are 80 and above. It actually starts sometimes as young as 50. So even 45, sometimes people come down with Alzheimer's disease if they have the proper genetics, unfortunately, for this. So if someone has a history of Alzheimer's in their family, they really probably should go see a specialist and make sure at a young age they don't have the right genetics, and they should be watching more carefully for anything that might clue their family into any early signs of Alzheimer's.
Well, at any rate, it's people like you, Phil, that make the world a little safer because you're on the cutting edge of imagery, and you make it possible for physicians like myself to get a grasp on what's happening, and so at least we can effectively diagnose and hopefully treat in the future.
Well, does everyone remember microhemorrhages? That's the big key now.
Microhemorrhages. Same
right.
In the retina. Same in the retina,
exactly.
For Alzheimer's.
Very important.
So any rate, it's been great to be with you again. We'll have to talk some more, as always. I'm Dr. Rob Abel, The Wizard of Eyes on RadioMD.com. For more information on this segment or any of my segments, visit my show page at RadioMD.com. Thank you for listening, paying attention to your body, and please stay well.